Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Our title of show tonight is Obama, the Great Divider, is off the reservation. Obama's demoralization plan, which consists of forcing good troops to leave the military, forcing good cops to leave the police force, drive Christ from the land, and bring back slavery through high taxes, turn a one-language nation, as spoken by all, into a nation of Babel, bust out the economy with welfare and international giving away of goodies, divide and conquer, and then build a thug army, work for ISIL and Putin and teach communism in six-sex education schools, legalize drugs for tax revenue, fund child murder shops called abortion clinics, pay $313 a head for each head with tax sucker money, build more drug rehab units to handle the increase in junkies, drop American history, which has already been dropped, teach communist history in communist public schools, pubic schools. Use the communist EPA to wipe out the American free enterprise system. And you want the solution to the problem? See, I just don't bitch about it. I tell you the solution. What's the solution? Pay the troops first. You take care of your help first. Especially the help that puts it all on the line. And you take care of their families. And if some communist officer brings charges against a fighting a soldier or marine and charges him in the battle zone with premeditated murder, and he goes to Fort Leavenworth for 15 years, his wife and children do not lose their benefits. And he should be given a reinvestigation. And when it is learned that the six-judge panel that sentenced him to 15 years, not one had combat experience, they should go and take his place in prison. Legalize. I mentioned that already. Okay. Reduce taxes and government size by 80%. People laugh when I say that. Why, you don't think it's not possible? It is definitely possible. Okay, you want to compromise? 79%. One term per termite. Nobody should hold office more than once. The cemetery is full of indispensable people. $1 maximum champagne contributions. No lobbies. The only lobby should be in a hotel. That gets rid of all the bribe-taking. When these congressmen and senators have to live on their paycheck alone, they will go and look for other work. $1 maximum for champagne contributions, whether you're Chinese, Occupy GE, or Joe the Plumber. the most that you can contribute to any candidate is $1. And that levels the playing field so that all the poor people can come back and vote, the 90 million who no longer vote. One term per termite, I said that already. No taxes, city, state, and federal, after 40 hours per week. If a guy is going to work 41 hours, that 1 hour should be his tax-free. And that's just for starters. So, having said that, let me give you, what should we give you? How about the Star Spangled Banner? Pushes the House to have all-out spending fight, immigration action. See, one guy is standing up. The rest of them want to hide under rocks. There's a few conservatives that stand up, but most of the rhinos They have lost their two big Liberty Bells. Taking the podium Wednesday at an outdoor presser besides the House's most vocal border security hawks, Reps Steve King, Good Guy Michelle Bachmann, Great Lady, Cruz slid comfortably back into a familiar place, being a thorn in the side of elected House leaders. Yeah, if you look at my pictures tonight, I have John Boehner as the Cowardly Lion. Oh, it looks beautiful. He has a nice hairdo. Well, White House Speaker John Boehner has been trying to rally Republicans around a plan to fund the government before the December 11th deadline. Don't do it, boys. This president is on an accelerated, catalytic rampage. He intends to bring it all down before he decides not to leave office. He's out there tonight. That's why I played the war chant. I played the war chant tonight. The tune you always hear when the Indians arrive on the scene. And he's out there tonight. He's playing make-believe Indian. He's in competition with Elizabeth, who said she was a half of 1% Indian. Yeah, and I got a picture of her in a war bonnet. And she's going to be Hillary's thorn in the side. She's coming up against Hillary. And they're going to out-communist each other. Yeah, so Boehner wants to work with the Democrats, and Cruz wants to work with the American people. Yeah. We fought a bloody revolution to free ourselves from monarchs, Cruz said. He's calling for a rider stripping funding for the executive action. Cruz also accused members of Congress of not being honest with those who elected them a month ago. Do what you said you would do, he said. And then he had a message for the Demo Camos. You know the Democrat Party is the Communist Party. You know that, right? The Democrat Party left with Harry Truman a long time ago. Yes. And the Rhino Party is now the Democrats. And already some Republicans are calling other Republicans Democrats. Cruz then had a message for the Democrats. He argued that Obama's actions set a precedent where any future president can discard congressional wishes on everything from immigration to taxes. What the president is doing is dangerous, Cruz said. If the president doesn't have to follow the law, what is the point of electing a Congress? Bachmann argued that voters had reelected a Republican majority in the House to stop Obama, not to allow him to move forward alone. We will be a people who decide that we are going to go with the freight train of what Washington, D.C. wants, or we will listen and hearken to the voice of the American people. That was stated unmistakably in November of 4. So that's a little background on where Cruz is standing. And Boehner and Match McConnell, the flag burner, you don't know that, right? You know what? Both parties cover up their sins. You never really see the sins of the opposition. Of course, the Democrats, or the communists, as I call them, they have the better cover-up team because they've got a lot of communist news networks. They've got Always Be Communist, ABC, the Communist Broadcasting System, CBS, Nothing But Communists, NBC, and then the Communist News Network, CNN. All four of those guys are blinding the American people to the truth, and they do it day in and day out. You want an example? Every day that Bush was in office and Americans died in Iraq or Afghanistan, the media immediately that evening gave you his name, his rank, his town, his high school, and a picture. And then they stuck 7 mics in the mother's face and said, "How does it feel now that your son is dead under George Bush?" So along comes the great peacemaker, Obama bin Laden, and he loses 2,300 Americans in Afghanistan, and nobody knows about it. You know why? The day he walked into office, he told his media stooges, no more names in the news at night. They said, what are we going to do? So here's what you do. We're going to identify them as NATO troops. Everybody will think they're being buried in Holland. And we'll say NATO troops to be identified later, and later never comes. So he has cleverly covered up the loss of 2,347 Americans in Afghanistan since he took office. You know how many Bush lost in 8 years in Afghanistan? 461. And if you're following the Taliban, they're getting stronger and more brazen. And they're waiting for Obama to get down to 10,000 troops. And I pray to God that we never see a massacre of American troops, because you won't be able to handle it. And it will change. It will turn this nation upside down. Okay, so having said that, last night, as a sign-off tune, I was going to give a tune dedicated to wives, widows, widowers, orphan children, or one-parent children who lost their father or mother in the World Trade Center, or lost them in Iraq, or lost them in Afghanistan. And there's an empty seat at the table, and there's a pillow with no head on it. And I wanted to play a tune that Roy Orbison did. I don't know that much about Roy Orbison, but I do know this. He was in London doing a show, and he got word that his house back in the USA burned to the ground, along with his wife and children. Now, man, that's got to be the end of your world. And his heart must have been torn right from his body. So he did a tune. And if you listen to the tune, you can be simpatico with what he's saying and apply it to the kids who lost a parent in 9-1-1. Which is continuing for 14 years. We're still in 9-1-1, but only 1% of the country knows it. 99% is out shopping. Yeah, they're out to lunch. So here's the tune that got cut short last night, and so I'm doing it in full. It's Roy Orbison in Dreams.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift like dreamers do. Then I fall.
I'm laughing. I'm reading about the woman that outed the cop in Ferguson, Missouri. This is pretty good. I'll share it with you. The lady that publicized Darren Wilson's address, I wouldn't call her a lady, man, was just given a huge dose of reality. The move actively endangered an already targeted police officer's life, as well as the lives of his family members. And they got a picture of her. And the only thing that's missing, don't throw water on it because she might melt. Following, and we want to know what she did with Dorothy's dog, Odo. Following his on-duty shooting of robbery suspect Michael Brown in August of Ferguson, Missouri, police officer Darren Wilson was targeted by protesters who automatically assumed the white officer was motivated by racism instead of a legitimate threat on his life. They didn't assume it. The idea was planted in their minds by white communists. When a grand jury, privy to the details of this incident, determined the veteran officer should not be charged in the shooting, threats against his life increased as rioters looted and destroyed businesses in the St. Louis suburb. Amid the civil unrest, New York Times reporter Julie Bosman, stoked tensions by releasing the name of the street on which Wilson lived with his pregnant wife. Similar information was subsequently published by Bloomberg. I call him Mohammed Bloomingdale because he encouraged radical Muslims to build an FU mosque across the street from the World Trade Center. And he, controlling his community board one, which gave him a third term of office, he owned them all, allegedly. He's the Antichrist. Yeah. The Times arguably equivocated its denunciation of such sensitive data being published, stating only, this is the New York Communist Times. This is a newspaper that covered up the murder of 12 million Ukrainians by Joseph Stalin. This is the newspaper that called Fidel Castro the George Washington of Cuba. You go down to Cuba and ask those people down there that are eating still life paintings and fighting over a slice of bread. If Fidel Castro, with his $670 million that we know about, is the George Washington of Cuba and all of the drug money that he's making, he owns all the rum in Cuba. He owns all the cigars in Cuba. He owns all the sugar in Cuba. And he did it all for the Cuban people who were fighting over a banana tonight. You know what a Cuban fantasy is? An apple. Only that it may have been an unwise, oh, they're saying, Times is saying it had been unwise in such an emotionally fraught situation. I thought journalists were supposed to be step aside people and look from an objective point of view. Impassioned critics, however, felt the move actively endangered. You bet they endangered that guy's life. You bet. And so let me see. In response to their involvement, Bosman and her colleague, Campbell Robinson, had their addresses published online. Oh, that's tit for tat, isn't it? Bosman has since complained that her safety is now threatened, and she looked to the Chicago police for top-tier protection. According to one account, a source within the department confirmed that she not only exaggerated the threats she ostensibly faced, but sought the same level of police assistance afforded to celebrities and other high-profile individuals. She came in thinking she was Steven Spielberg or something shooting a movie. Got News quoted one department as saying, In the end, Bosman was offered a dose of reality. The police laughed at her. Yeah, unbelievable. Oh, she'll be filing complaints. She'll be filing all kinds of... You want to hear some comments on this thing? The last place this idiot should have gone to was a police department of all places. I love it. This is the exposed mental state of one reporter that writes in a major publication that we read every day. How stupid and ridiculous are the others? Can dish it out but can't take it. The same thing done to her. Can only hope she realizes now what she did. And if this doesn't do it, there's no hope for her. Dale says, just shorten it. There's no hope for her. I won't teach her anything. Just like the ones that voted for Obama. They now want to elect a Benghazi Hillary. You're right on the money, Dale, which is making the same mistake over again. And Pete says, Dale, you sure hit the nation on the head. No need to say any more. Drake says, I take issue with phrase you use, Tom, that we read every day. I haven't read that dog poop paper in years. Just then that you were on the spot. Just other than that, you're on the spot. Okay, I got to tell you, my parakeets rejected the New York Times. They won't allow it in their cage. Many stopped taking that paper years ago. They don't even get most of the news from them. Only what they want to know. And then much of that is lies. Everyone in New York should dump that paper. Unfortunately, the majority of New Yorkers have elected a communist mayor. The population in New York is 25% black. I think it's like 27% Latino. The Latinos are now surpassing the blacks in population. So if you add those two groups together, you've got over 52%, 53%. The whites are not a big, not the majority anymore. So we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. That's why they're looking to burn Staten Island to the ground. Ron Cuby, the communist, he calls it, and I don't know what Curtis is doing with Cuby. Can't you get a girl? yeah, he calls it White Islander. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. So, New York is gone, communist. You got a communist mayor, and he's out there, and he's stirring the racial pot because he's got 25% of the population that he can incite to burn the city down. Yeah, and that's just what he's doing, man. Let's see what else somebody else says. Brandy, she was proud of herself. Till she was in Wilson's shoes. I swear, most of the media outlets are brain dead. They're not brain dead. They have an agenda. The agenda is to bust out the United States along with their communist president. Smokey says, that may be true, but while they have an adult body, they have the mind of a child and need adult supervision at all times. I would like to have been a fly on the wall when she came into the police department to request protection. I would have liked to have been the fly on the wall after she went out and the guys were talking amongst themselves. I'll bet you they had some real vivid descriptions of her. Yeah. Oh, me too, love to see her liberal face when she asked for help and was told, sorry, we don't support communism. Let's see here. Murderous reporter had a shot at a police officer. She was working the first. She's just working the first. Somebody has a shot at her. She wants all the king's men for horses. Should state here that she left town with her tail on fire. Then there's an old saying, she made her bed, she can lay in it. Awake, hearing the house creak. Or is it the house? That's a good one. That's my mom, Tigger. Thomas says, the New York Times, one would have thought that fine paper would have better employees or policies in effect. We're not allowed this type of abuse. journalism is not a license to mess with people's lives. You know, New York Times has been accusing of leaking troop movements during this 9-1-1 war we got going. Marilyn says she just got what she deserved. Gail says a well-educated liberal idiot got a real life lesson and love it. So she lives in Chicago. It's a guy looking for the address. Veronica, excellent. Thanks for making my morning. I actually called our cell, but it went straight to VM on voicemail. I got to watch these letters. Matt, I would have loved to see her freak out at the police station, which reminds me, why did she go there when she thinks that they're all about racism? Hypocrite dirtbag. Kenner says, henceforth, when you go online and Google stupid cow, nah, Bozeman's picture will pop up. Yeah, just like Michael Brown. I hope she gets the justice as she deserves. Guy is, he's hard. He's very hard. I won't read the rest. Funny, I posted her address on Facebook after she posted his. So did I pay back for her evil? Chicago should be safe there with all the handgun laws. Her First Amendment rights affirmed. Additionally, she gets to accept the consequences of her actions. Yeah, beautiful. You reap what you sow. She played a stupid game. She got a stupid prize. These are different people commenting. The same laughter should go for the St. Louis Rams players. Oh, man, I got to tell you. I bet you the most watched game this Sunday is the great, blessed Washington Redskins, who Obama is going to issue an executive order and make them wear hammers and sickles on their helmets. He's out there snowing the Indians. Can you believe that? Do you know what happened when he gave the speech today? He was out with the Crow Nation. And he got up and he says, we're going to do everything right by the Crow people. And they went, Fakawi. And then he said, we're going to make sure there's no racial prejudice against American Indians. And they went, Fakawi. And he says, and I'm for you. I've always been for you. And I'm just like you, and you can trust me. And they went, Fakawi. And as he was walking back to his limousine, the chief said, be careful. Don't step into Fakawi. Okay. I laugh at my own jokes. It's a weakness I have. There's nothing I can do about it. But I tell you what I'll do. You've been so good, I'm going to give you a tune. And which one are we going to do? I did I'll Be Home for Christmas with Fat Swallow last night. How about a prayer? You want to do a prayer? Yeah, it's time we pray.
When the twilight is gone, and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart, and here in my heart you will stay. In a dream that's divine, my friend is a rapture in blue, with the world far away. Close to mine. Do not walk
Okay, I'm listening to that love song, and for you guys out there that are having trouble getting love, I'm going to give you my inside straight scoop. I'm going to tell you how you do it. You pick a nice fancy bar that's peppered with beautiful women, and you walk in, you go right up to the bar, get close to where the women are, and order a sidecar. This only works with a sidecar. And the bartender will tell you that he doesn't know what a sidecar is. You tell him it's a shot of brandy, a shot of triple sec, and a shot of a lemon juice with a little sugar. And he'll make you your sidecar. And already the girls will notice that you're different. Maybe it's because you're ugly. But that doesn't matter, because I'm going to give you the award-winning pitch that's going to get you a lot of girls. Are you ready? You slowly sip the sidecar, you put it down, and you say the following words. What good is $9 million if nobody loves me? And wait about 8 seconds. You like that one? That's pretty good, right? Okay. There's a guy named Tim Wildman. He has an association called the American Family Association, and he's a Christian, and he doesn't like it when people hurt his religion. So apparently somebody went to a beauty parlor and learned that this beauty parlor chain called Regis Corporation had a policy and told their employees not to wish anybody a Merry Christmas. They could only say Happy Holidays. So Tim got a bunch of petitions together. And in about an hour, he had a response. And here's the response. Please know that there is not a corporate-wide policy at Regis Corporation regarding greetings during the many holiday seasons throughout the year. Hey, we're talking Christmas, buddy. Christmas. Baby Jesus is coming on the 25th. We got a date. We got a time. We got an arrival on the 25th of December every year. It's the same trip during the many holiday seasons throughout the year, including Christmas. We encourage our stylists and staff to greet every guest with respect and courtesy, regardless of the season or time of year. We are also sharing this throughout the company so everyone has the correct information. Signed, Susan Evans, atheist. Thank you for standing with us. Oh, Tim is saying thank you for standing with us. That's sort of curt, wasn't it? That was a little smug. I didn't think that was very good. You know what? Maybe we should send Susan Evans a holy pitcher. Remember when the nuns used to give you holy pitchers? You couldn't wait to get one because it was for, you know, you did something good. Like you knew your American history, you got a holy picture. Yes. Okay. So, what else are we going to talk about? I'll give you another tune. I'll look up something to talk about. We are going to do Native Dancer. Used to be a racehorse named Native Dancer. Or would you like to hear an Irish curse when you do an Irishman wrong? Like steal his Drake. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my name it is Nell, and the truth for to tell, I come from Coat Hill, which I'll never deny. I had a fine break, and I die for his sake, that my grandmother left me, and she gone to die. The dear little fellow, his legs they were yellow, he could fly like a swallow, or swim like a hake. Till some dirty savage took red his white cabbage, most wantonly murdered me beautiful Drake. Now his neck it was green, almost fit to be seen, he was fit for a queen of the highest degree. His body was white, and it would you delight, he was plump, fat, and heavy, and brisk as a bee. He was wholesome and sound, he would weigh 20 pounds, and the universe round I would roam for his sake. Bad luck to the robber, be he drunk or sober, that murdered Nell Flaherty's beautiful Drake. May his spade never dig, may his sow never pig, may he tear in his wig, be well thrashed with the flail. May his door never latch, may his roof have no thatch, may his turkeys not hatch, may the rats eat his mail. May every old fairy from Cork to Dunleary dip him snug and airy in river or lake. That the eel and the trout they may dine on the snout of the monster that murdered Nell Flaherty's Drake. May his pig never grunt, may his cat never hunt, may a ghost ever haunt him at dead of the night. May his hens never lay, may his horse never neigh, may his goat fly away like an old paper kite. That the flies and the fleas may the wretch ever tease, may the piercing March breeze make him shiver and shake. May a lump of a stick raise the bumps fast and thick on the monster that murdered Nell Flaherty's Drake. Well, the only good news that I have to infuse is that old Paddy Hughes and young Anthony Blake, also Johnny Dwyer and Corny Maguire, they each have a grandson of my darling Drake. My treasure had dozens of nephews and cousins, and one I must get or my heart it will break. For to set me mind dizzy, or else I'll run crazy. So ends the whole song of Nell Flaherty's Drake.
Okay, we're back. There was a headline that read, "A Radical Muslim in the Navy." And here's the story behind the headline. Those who serve in the United States military and take an oath to protect our nation are lauded for their service, and rightfully so. Yet it is highly immoral, if not evil and traitorous, for someone who has served in the U.S. military to exploit their military connections while taking leadership roles within groups associated with terror. It appears that that is what Muslim convert Wilfredo Amor Ruiz has done and is doing with his work for Islamist groups CARE and Amana. And his actions deserve scrutiny, reprimand, and repudiation. Wilfredo Ruiz has served in the U.S. Navy in two capacities. Once as a lawyer under the Navy Judges Advocate General, JAG, from the years 1993 through 1997. I got to tell you something. He's a JAG officer. He served for 4 years. If he sat on court martials for U.S. Marines, who were found guilty of premeditated murder and sent to the brig. I don't know if they go to Fort Leavenworth like the Army does. I would call for a reexamination of every case that he participated in. And I would scrutinize the facts and see if any of those guys are rotting away unjustly. And remember, when you sentence one trooper or one Marine, that you're sentencing his family to a life of hardship and suffering, and they have no benefits. And that's not right. If there's two things that we should do tomorrow. One, do not punish the families of those convicted of crimes. They are innocent, and they should be afforded benefits. And the other thing is, I said it last night on a show, that every ambassador, most of these ambassadors throughout the world have bought the ambassadorship with money. They've paid off one political party or the other. They should all be removed, and they should be replaced by vets in wheelchairs. And I said that last night. And this morning I turn on my TV, and they're announcing that a woman who's a writer for soaps paid $80,000 to the Party of Death and got the ambassadorship for Hungary. And she knows nothing about hunger, let alone Hungary. And that's why I say all of this pay for play should all be destroyed and wiped out. And let me tell you, if you had a vet in a wheelchair serving as an ambassador to Hungary, he would have the respect of the Hungarian people, because they would know that he paid a price, a love price, for his country. And that sure beats a soap opera writer representing every farmer, rancher, fisherman, factory worker as the American people. But you see, when you're a Democrat communist, everything is for sale. And the Republicans place a second on that list. But the Tea Party people, they're straight arrows, as the American Indian says, like the American Indian who met Obama today and said, him talk with forked tongue. Yeah, old Forky. Okay, it appears that this is what the Muslim convert Wilfredo Amor Ruiz has done. He has served in the U.S. Navy in two capacities, once as a lawyer under the Navy Judge's Advocate General from the years 93 to 97, and once as chaplain under the Navy Chaplain's Candidate Officers Program, which he took on after he began religious studies in 2005 at a seminary in Hartford, Connecticut. You know what I say about mosques? You notice they're very tubular shaped. The minarets. Did you ever check the minarets to see if they got exhaust ports and rocket fuel caps? Yeah. Sometime in 2003, during the time between two naval exercises, he made a decision to convert to Islam. He came to the States via Puerto Rico. Know what they say about Puerto Rico? One out of seven Puerto Ricans is on welfare. Did you know that? Hey, welfare's for everybody. It's for all Americans. But do we have a little bit too much of it? Go as a practicing Catholic. Not only did he embrace his new religion, but right away he embraced the extremist ideology that is part of it, leading him to actively pursue a course that is causing death and destruction worldwide. According to corporate filings in September 2003, Ruiz was the director of the Puerto Rico Officer for AMANA. Officer for AMANA, A-M-A-N-A. That is the brainchild of Palestinian activist Sofian Abdulaziz Zakut. Is the former vice president of the now-defunct Health Resource Center for Palestine, a group associated with Hamas that operated out of Deerfield Beach of Florida. These guys are here, folks, and when the imam calls them to slaughter, they are all going to answer the prayer. And we'll be running those 911 videos. You know, not every Muslim is a terrorist. Yes, and we have to work with our brothers. And just step over those bodies. They mean nothing. This past July, as reported in Breitbart, Zakut posted on his Facebook page the following in Arabic: Praise be to God, each day we conquer the American Jews like our conquests over the Jews of Israel. Your brother, Sofyan. And then you can read more, but I've read enough. And that's what we're up against. And here's some responses. These bastards destroy everything they touch, follow their track record. Old Sarge, non-vet, 68 to 70. God bless you, Sarge. You were betrayed. You were betrayed right here in New York City by the people that now elected a communist mayor. I looked up this guy on the internet, and I do not believe he is still in the U.S. Navy. At least I hope he's not. That's by Rich. This picture of him in his uniform is on his Facebook page. Who knows? They allow homos in. Why not a person who turns reghead? Thanks, Obama, for the ruination of a once fine, proud military. Ooh, that is sad. That is sad. I know Savage says aircraft carriers are floating brothels. And he loves the Navy. For him to say it, it must tear him up. This guy says he should fall off a carrier deck. You want to hear a carrier deck story? This goes back about 10 years ago. Let me just take a sip of this good wine here. I drink the cheap stuff. $6.97 for a 2-liter bottle. Is that 2 liters yet? No, 55-gallon drum. A guy went up on deck on an aircraft carrier to have a smoke. A Marine. And the door swung and knocked him off the ship. He was floating for like 2 days in the water. And a Pakistani fishing boat picked him up, and they took him to their village. And he was very close to the Iranian border, so it's a good thing that he didn't get picked up by the Iranians. So they took him to a village, and he managed to call home to his mother. And he said, Mom, I'm in a village in Pakistan, but I'm okay. Everything is fine. And he described being in the water for 2 days, and fish were bumping him in the water. How would you like that? How would you like to sleep overnight in the water? So all of a sudden, it's like a scene from Private Ryan. A car pulls up, and two Marine officers get out. And they knock on the door. She says, yes. They say, ma'am, we regret to inform you, but your son has been lost at sea. Lost at sea? He's in Pakistan. He's in a fishing village. He just called me. What's wrong with you people? Yeah, which reminds me of a joke. I'll give it to you. Grandmother's on the beach at Rockaway in New York. She's got a little grandson with her. He's playing by the water's edge. All of a sudden, a big wave comes in and carries him out. She starts screaming. He's out about 100 feet in the water. And she can see him. And she, please, somebody help my grandson. Lifeguard comes running over, dives in the water. He swims out 100 feet. And just as he gets to the sun, a shark attacks. He starts punching and fighting the shark, and the shark finally goes away. He's totally exhausted. He's wasted all his strength. Finally brings the boy back to the grandmother. He goes, your grandson, grandma. She goes, you know, he had a hat, too. Tune, and we'll look for something to talk about. We got Picadillo with the family, Fania All-Stars. You like that. You're Latin-bound. Okay, we're back. You hear me use the word communist a lot, and a lot of people will tell you, oh, communism, that died when the wall came down. No, when the wall came down, they all came out. They're all here. They graduate. They graduate from American colleges now. Jimmy from Brooklyn says that Columbia is KGB headquarters. How's that? And he says the Institute for Policy Studies is a KGB front group. Jimmy has been studying communism since before the Bolshevik Revolution. And he documents everything using all communist periodicals. He doesn't take the writings of Dogma reports. Somebody did this article, Historian Replied to the Discussion. You know, this guy's handle must be Historian. Signs that the Ferguson protests could signal the start of a communist revolution in America. An historian replied to National Director D's discussion that the Ferguson protests, and now in New York, could signal the start of a communist revolution in America. And this is what he said. Did you notice these people that were demonstrating? They had these masks on. They look like opera masks. They have a white face with a goatee and a beard, a mustache, and everybody seems to wear the same mask. Do you know what that mask is from? There was a movie called V for Vendetta, and it's about a guy named Guy Fawkes, F-A-W-K-E-S. And Historian is saying that Guy Fawkes has become an icon for anarchists. The real Guy Fawkes was no communist. He was not even a freedom fighter. When he joined the Spanish army, he fought to suppress the Dutch and was promoted to the rank of alferez. He became a Catholic convert, and King Philip of Spain stopped short of supporting a rebellion in England, which Fawkes had proposed. This guy goes back to 1604. He joined a splinter group headed by Robert Gatsby. The planned assassination of King James was discovered, and Fawkes was convicted and sentenced to death. He jumped from the gallows prematurely, which killed him instantly. Fawkes was no hero to the English people. It is kind of puzzling how the postmodern anarchists identify Fawkes with their movement. His actions and loyalties were to the Catholic faith, and not at all inclined toward anything Marxist. So now you know a little bit of behind that mask, the story behind that mask. And communism is stronger in the U.S. today than it has ever been. And these are the same communists that won the war in Vietnam on the streets of Chicago and the streets of New York and the streets of California. They're here. They're in every walk of life, including religious orders. They are sprinkled throughout the land, and they will play blacks, they will play Muslims, they will play anybody to achieve their goal. Their motto is, you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. In other words, the fools are dispensable. The goal is communism. Everybody else is dispensable. So they're here. And they are winning. Jimmy from Brooklyn says, when the communists win, they win. And when they lose, they win. You think about that. That means, he also says, they play chess, we play checkers. So, having said that, I am out of time. I'm going to sign off with a song. And let me see. You want to do another? No, that's too short. There was one. Let's see if I can find it. We will do Arabic and Spanish. And this is a dream song because it's never going to happen. And the name of the song in, I guess in Spanish, is Salam al Paz al Fino, which means peace at last. And that's never going to happen.
Maravilloso.